Hello again, I'm Drew Wilder, and it's all about business. It's your business, whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman, whether you're a consumer, which I assume you are. It all pertains to you in the end. It's business talk, straight talk, and we do it with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors, covering Connecticut for 50 years, helping businesses with everything from real estate to taxes, insurance, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. Stan, welcome again to It's Your Business.
Hi, Drew. Hey, just one question.
Yeah.
I thought this was a country music station.
Only on Thursdays.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's the new year. Happy New Year. And we're going to talk about really kind of a compilation of what we talked about last year going into this year to help you with the year ahead with what you should know in 2023 to get off on the right foot, being that this is the beginning of yet another year. Hard to believe it's 2023. You think it'll be a good year for businesses in Connecticut, Stan?
Stay tuned for our April Fool's.
Yeah, oh no.
Program.
That's a bad harbinger of things to come.
You've heard of the War of the Worlds. Well, we've got a surprise for you.
We do. Stay tuned. 3.5 months. We've got a lot of really great shows in the year ahead planned. We're going to have Brian Foley on, former police officer, now town manager in Tolland, talking about really about security and what you need to know to protect yourselves and protect your businesses. Next week, we're doing one on asset protection, personnel, even personnel problems. We'll do a show on.
And if anybody has a great idea of something that they would like to see covered in one of our shows, please feel free to email me, stan@stsworld.net, with the question, and we will address it in our shows or maybe even do a special show on that subject.
Now, that's a good idea. Or they can call you, and we're going to give your number for the no-fee consultation at the end of the show. But what number would they call you if they have an idea for a show they would like information on?
Sure. Just call me on my direct line, 860-524-3408. And direct call, it works best. We don't have to go through, like trying to call a bank and go through 40 different prompts. Just call me and leave me a message.
You don't have to be put on hold for 40 minutes?
Or go onto an iPad and try to schedule an appointment to see somebody. Nobody wants to talk anymore. So, hey, those are the problems we're challenging and trying to talk about for the average business owner to survive. It's very interesting. A few years back, I was at a small restaurant out west. And what intrigued us about it is that when you go in, there were people behind the counter, no wait staff whatsoever. You gave them your order and they wrote it down and they asked for your name. And then you would sit down and wait. Huh. And they were as busy as could be. And I remember saying to my wife, this is the future. No wait staff.
Yeah.
So the other day we went out to a local restaurant, and it's, I believe, in West Hartford. And there it was. It's a national chain, and you go in, you go to the counter, you order your burgers and your shakes and whatever you want, and boom, you don't hear from anybody till they call out your name. However, I had to wait 25 minutes. And I went up and said, where is my food? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, well, New Year's Day brunch, that would have helped me. We waited 45 minutes to get served at a restaurant, and then the coffee came out. It was black. And then the real kicker was the French toast came out. I never really ordered French toast, but I did on New Year's Day. And the French toast came out, and just as the waitress left, I realized there was no maple syrup there. So when she came back 5-10 minutes later, French toast cold, I said, can I have like maple syrup with this? Oh, you want maple syrup? It's like, hello, French toast and maple syrup. But yes, that would alleviate the labor problems restaurants going in.
I got to tell you a great story on that from back in the days when I had a restaurant. I remember we wanted to start serving Saturday and Sunday morning breakfast.
Huh, okay.
And we wanted to create what was called the All-American Breakfast. And so when the cooks started to do breakfast, I said, well, let's try some different items. And can you make Eggs Benedict. Oh, hey, no problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We sat back and had him make a variety of different dishes, and I wanted to see how much they knew before we went any further. So they bring out the Eggs Benedict, okay, after about an hour wait.
Oh.
And my wife cut into it because I don't like Eggs Benedict. She had it,
yeah.
And she took a bite, and she said, "What is this?" Well, they used, instead of hollandaise sauce, chicken gravy.
Oh, they didn't know better.
No, thank goodness, you know, we didn't serve this right. to anybody. But
people would have, yeah.
You just never know.
Wow. So labor issues, we've done some shows on that. We'll do more shows. Is that the biggest problem you see? Is that going to continue in the year ahead? Labor issues, businesses that can't find people that want to work?
It ain't going nowhere, Drew. It's going to get worse. I mean, this is, that, to me, in my world, my little world here in Hartford, Connecticut, is there's nobody wants to work. I said this on our last show. I am convinced that since COVID, people do not want to work. Every business owner is plagued by the same problems. They cannot find capable employees.
But what are people doing? I mean, what are they doing with their time and how are they living?
I don't know. It's very scary. You know, it's just trying to find anybody to do anything. How do you, the traditional methods of going about to find people to do work, they're by the wayside.
Right.
It really is by word of mouth. And then, and at that time, you still cannot believe they really know what they're doing.
Right. And that's driving, as we've talked about on the show, driving inflation up. So maybe inflation's not going to come down that much, as a lot of the so-called experts are saying, because if there's a limited pool of labor and you can't find people, employers are going to have to keep raising the wages.
I just don't see where inflation is going to decrease. I mean, it's not, you know, today wages are not keeping pace with inflation. I think the government is spending so much money on so many needless items, and the waste is so tremendous that the only people that are going to benefit from the next few years of high inflation will be the people who have debt that has been around for 5 or 10 right. years, because you will now pay off that debt with cheaper dollars.
Right. Right. Exactly. It'll be a cycle that's good for them.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how you get out of the labor problems. And it's funny because as a kid, I don't know if they had it in Connecticut, but there was a big chain, Horn and Harder. You remember Horn and Harder?
No.
Big chain in New York. Matter of fact, they just did a movie on it. Somewhere that I couldn't see it. I forget where it was, but it was called The Automat. And it was basically what you're saying. It was back in like the 60s when I was a kid. And you'd put, like back then, you put a quarter in the machine, in the slot. It was kind of like a vending machine, but you have little compartments where you see the sandwiches or the hamburgers or whatever. And you'd put the quarter in and you'd pull, you know, the item out. And there was no help, no waiters, no waitresses, and probably do well today with what's going on.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, I remember back when we had cafeterias. So if you went into G. Fox and Company, yep. or say Jowen and Company, they all had cafeterias,
right.
and you'd go through the facility and pick out the food that you need, that you want. It's a little nostalgic, and doesn't exist anymore, at least to my knowledge. But if anybody knows of a cafeteria out there, my daughter would love to go see one.
Ah, interesting. That's probably what Horn Harder was. It was big in the New York area.
Right.
I mean, like Schraft's was very big back then. But so labor's going to be a problem you see going forward, as it has been for the past few years. Are you optimistic overall? Doesn't sound like you are in the year ahead.
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think that I try to be a very optimistic person, but sometimes I get this feeling that I can't explain that concerns me. It's like I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Because many items just don't make sense to me. If one and one becomes three, what am I missing in the process? Right. And the challenge with that is, as the years go by in an economy like this, you begin to wonder. I mean, I do not understand how with such a weak economy, so few people to work, with COVID having had a sustainable effect on the supply lines, how can the stock market continue to go up and up and up?
Well,
and so to me, it just doesn't make sense. Let me ask you a question. You look at a bird. You like birds?
I love birds.
Okay. Well, can you name me a bird that flies backwards?
Only the Baltimore Orioles.
So
when they're trying to go back to the other base.
Well, you got Baltimore Orioles. Can a hawk fly backwards?
Nope.
Can an eagle fly backwards?
Nope.
What about a hummingbird?
No.
Yes.
You wouldn't have asked the question. I should have said yes.
Hummingbirds
can
fly
backwards. Really?
Right.
That's interesting.
So what is the relevance of hummingbirds flying backwards? Well, you look at the economy, and is it going forward? Is it going backwards? Is it going forwards and backwards? So, you know, I don't think any of us know. We, you know, it's like everybody has different theories on why the Republicans can't pick a Speaker of the House,
right,
or different opinions on, you know, fantasy football. So we don't know. I mean, you have to take a look as logically as you can at where the economy is going.
Mm-hmm.
And if you took risk over the past 25 years,
mm-hmm,
you would have made a lot of money in the market.
Yeah. Right.
There was no foundation for a lot of it. People will say, "Well, my gosh, the value, the book value of the stock is so great." Book value means that if you liquidated the company, it would be worth more than mm-hmm the market value mm-hmm of the stock. So you say, "Wow, there's a lot of stocks like that." Well, today it's the opposite. The market value is much greater than the book value.
Right.
So if I'm sitting here saying, okay, where do I want to invest my money? Would I rather invest in a company that's undervalued or overvalued? But with the hedge funds and all the big brokerage firms, it seems irrelevant. It doesn't matter what the value is. As more and more 401k money, mm-hmm, as more and more pension fund money goes into the economy, it just forces the price of the stocks up. So, for example, in the 1970s, there were maybe 700 mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I don't know whether there are 50,000 mutual funds because so
thousands.
Much money keeps flowing into the market.
Right.
And it just it forces it up. So, I mean, and it gets ridiculous. This week, President Biden just gave, I believe it's $59 million to a labor union pension fund.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because they lost all the money. I don't know if it was $39 million or $59 million, but regardless, he bailed them out.
Right.
You know, so.
But it's all opposite.
Right.
Everything is like opposite. Usually when something happens, it's totally the opposite of what should have been the outcome.
Well, the same thing happened in Connecticut when they passed whatever bill it was. They bailed out our state pension fund.
Right.
I mean, it was so far in the hole, but I don't see our taxes going down.
Right.
And, you know, the biggest ripoff that I see of all, I don't mean to get off on a tangent, but I got to vent,
yeah.
Drew. So we now have a bottle tax in Connecticut. We don't recycle. So they're charging us 10 cents for a bottle return just to make more money.
Right.
Well, next year, that bottle tax is going up.
Right.
And we all have our recycling containers. We don't recycle anything in the state of Connecticut. We even closed our trash to energy plants. So it's all about manipulating us to get more money.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truck drivers are going to be paying more to go through the state. But at the end of the day, who's going to pay for this?
Right.
It's going to be you. It's going
exactly.
to be me. And we just somehow put our heads in the sand. We're ostriches while the whole world goes by us.
Well, I think that's the big thing. People don't realize that when these things happen, who's paying for it? It's us. It's the consumer. It's the student debt write-off really is a student debt transfer. It's just a matter of who's going to end up getting stuck with the bill for all the people who really went over their head and shouldn't have taken out all these loans to go to college. So it's all these things are not like writing it off. It's transfers. It's basically the working person having to pay more. And maybe that's why people aren't working, because it's every time you do that, it's more of a disincentive to want to work. And again, we're talking with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors in Hartford, 50 years helping businesses. And it all affects businesses, that affects consumers. As we always say, it's your business. And you can hear us every week at this time on the Talk of Connecticut. And we'll tell you at the end of the show in a few minutes how you can get in touch with Stan for a no-fee business financial consultation. So 2023, I mean, it all sounds so pessimistic. Is there anything that you see that is going to be better this year than in the past? Probably not, right?
Hey, Drew.
Okay.
What's everybody's first musical instrument? Across America, what's the first musical instrument every person gets?
First, you told me this. See, and I forgot. It is not the guitar.
Not what they buy. It's what they... What's the first musical instrument they try?
Okay, the first one they try, probably in like...
First grade.
Yeah, I was going to say kindergarten. Geez, what do we do in kindergarten? A trombone.
The kazoo.
The kazoo. That's right, the kazoo.
So... We've talked previously about how things changed. The surfboard became a skateboard.
Yep.
So if you take a look around you and try to draw comparisons of what's going on, I'm going to give you a good example of the 1989 film called Cyborg.
Okay, yeah.
You may remember that.
Yep, vaguely.
Yeah, you were into those kinds of things.
Yeah, right.
Well, what was very interesting is that many of the characters were named after musical instruments.
Huh.
So what is the relevance of that?
Yeah, what is the relevance of that?
Well, it's because what happens is that as time progresses, we see the interrelationship between many products and industry. Like we talked about Chanel,
right?
Coco Chanel changed the viewpoint of tans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that particular movie, the hero of the movie was named Gibbon Rickenbacker.
Ah.
After Gibson guitar. Gibson Rickenbacker.
So everyone was like named after a musical instrument.
Right. The antagonist was named Fender Tremolo, which is named after, obviously, Fender guitars.
Right, right.
The cyborg was named Pearl Prophet after Pearl drums. So it seems that as we look at many of these old shows, and you come to wonder, how did they come up with the ideas that they do, like the Terminator?
Right.
And then as time goes on, 30, 40 years, you start to say, gee, maybe we really are going in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, if we hear all this information and we see all these different movies, is there an opportunity to be optimistic or pessimistic? So I'm now going to turn around the question that you asked me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You deal with a lot of businesses out there. Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic in this new year?
In this new year, I don't know anyone, and I would agree with it, that thinks it's going to be a great year. I think the year is... And every year is pretty much what you make it to be. If you go in with an attitude like, it's going to be doom and gloom, and it's like, I'm never going to be able to, we're running a public service announcement here that I hear in the morning, like at 5 o'clock, just about some guy in the public service announcement just says something about like but times are just, it's just not a good time. It's a bad time. It's like, and that's kind of reinforcing why he didn't want to do something, whatever that public service announcement that I can't remember who it is, wanted you to do. And it always gets my attention because I'm an optimist at heart. I do think economically and politically it's going to be a disastrous year. But that doesn't mean everyone is going to have a bad year. That gives more opportunity for the people that really are determined and that will not stop and will try to be creative and have some ingenuity and come up with ideas, whatever they're doing in life, running a business or just as a person, the way you deal with things, to get ahead. Because the other people are going to give up a lot more easier. So I think politically and economically, it's not going to be a good year. I think the decisions in this country are embarrassing. And I can't believe people actually think that they're good. It's almost like a joke. But I don't think everyone's going to have a bad year. I think the people that have the right attitude will get ahead more than they ever have in the past.
So are you saying a bad year? Are we talking financially or just lifestyle?
Really both. I think economically, I think people will get ahead if they have the right attitude, determined, kind of like what I'm saying is not give up, think out of the box, have ideas, know how to deal with people, know what to say, what not to say, and how to forge forward. Lifestyle, I was just talking to a client this morning about it. Why are so many people like so obese? Why do they not? We were talking about exercise. Why do they not work out? And I compared it to a friend of mine, very good friend, one of my best friends, who's very overweight. And I don't understand why he eats so much and why he's 150 pounds, 200 pounds overweight. And I actually said to him, I said, why don't you eat healthier things or exercise or whatever? And his answer was the opposite of the way I think. He says, I'd rather enjoy today. So to me, you can enjoy today and have a healthy lifestyle. So lifestyle-wise, I think, is not going to be so great for so many people. But they're in control. It goes back to what I was saying before. They're in control, pretty much. Most people are in control of a good life, a better lifestyle.
So let's take a look in hindsight. So back in the Weicker years, when we went from a sales tax-based taxation system mm-hmm. to an income tax
right.
system.
Yeah.
And we had many vibrant businesses in Connecticut. And slowly but surely, we saw them leave. We saw the Whalers leave. We saw the Harvard mm-hmm. Ballet collapse. And then we started a process of seeing some of the big companies mm-hmm. dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
And just over the last few years now with COVID, we've seen a lot of the big insurance companies cut their office space. I know one in particular has reduced their office space in Hartford from 350,000 square feet to 50,000
wow.
square feet. And those people are now working from home.
Mm.
We've seen an exodus of young people mm-hmm. leave the state to pursue other opportunities. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they're building new apartments every
right.
time you turn around at sky-high rents.
Right, right.
So somebody's renting them.
I know. Hartford, I was going to say that to you before the show. It's amazing how many new upscale apartments are coming into Hartford.
Right. But listen, it's not just us. I mean, for example, Europe is having the same problems. Just in the past year, 80 microbreweries in England have closed.
Oh,
there's only one left in London. It's called the London Brewing Company, and they're a small microbrewery owned by a husband and wife, but they're the only one left. Hmm. All the others have collapsed because the price of malt has become so high, the cost of the items in their supply chain have gone so high, they can't continue. So we haven't seen that occur yet. We've seen a lot of restaurants here
right.
close because of COVID.
Right.
But because of pricing, we haven't closed yet. We're not there. So we've had a long discussion on this, mm-hmm. and my point being is I think this is a transition year.
Hmm.
I think we're going to see very carefully this year whether we really are going into a severe recession, whether we'll just kind of, you know, waddle in the water mm-hmm. and continue for a while, or if things will get better. And how we definitely know we will have inflation, but how do we make inflation our friend?
Right.
And that's a different discussion for another day. So going into this year, I'm not really positive and I'm not really negative.
Hmm.
What I'm trying to do is find a way to navigate through it and see where the opportunities are. I don't quite see them yet. Look, you know, people love to ski, right?
Right.
We don't have any snow.
Right.
I mean, this is one of the warmest winters we've had since 1994.
Yeah, 40, 50 degrees out.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're selling anything to do with winter, talked to two of my clients in the past couple of days. They're praying for bad weather, you know, snowy weather.
And Europe has the same problem. They're 20 degrees warmer than they have been prior years, which is a blessing because of the cost of fuel.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Right. This is a good thing. So everything negative has a good. I didn't think of that. Right. Electricity bills are going to be a lot lower at 24 cents a kilowatt hour from Eversource. So that's the positive side of it. But you don't hear, well, good news doesn't sell. So no one talks about that.
I know. That drives me crazy. When you listen to the news, all you hear are all the bad things. Negative, negative, negative. Yeah. Click.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Really. Everything is negative. That's it's kind of like watching the local TV news. It's just the so, and I'm a news addict, but there's only so much you can take. Every story is a fire, a murder, or a hit and run. So so I guess we should play the show back at the end of the year and just see, because no one ever does that. Talks about what their predictions were at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year.
I think it's one of those opportunities, kind of go with the flow and say you have to have objectives. You know, if you sit back and you have no objectives for your business, you're just in irons, as we call in sailing.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. Or if your engine goes, you put you at 2 knots and you got it going against a 5-knot tide. Good luck.
So set out the objectives, get an objective opinion. Now, that's where you come in for 50 years helping businesses with Steeplechase Advisors out of Hartford. How do you do? You'll sit down with someone and offer them. Is it really a no charge, like no fee consultation?
Initial meeting, correct, to see if we can even benefit each other. That's really the million-dollar question. Everybody wants help, but nobody really knows what they need or how they need it. And we can't help everybody. I mean, people have to be able to listen.
And I think they're already calling, but don't call yet. Stan will get back to you if he doesn't, because he's been flooded with calls when people call. So it may not be till Monday morning that he calls you back. What number can people get you at, Stan?
860-524-3408. 860-524-3408. They're too impatient. They're calling.
I know.
Already.
Geez, we haven't given the number, but we do give it every week. 860-524-3408 for Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors. It's your business. I'm Drew Wilder. Thanks so much for listening. Business Talk, Straight Talk. We talk to you at this time every weekend. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. You better-